At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staber. It's the WOSU Spring Membership Drive. More on that in just a minute. Craft breweries are big in Ohio. In 2011, the Buckeye State had about 49 local brewers, and that included big-name operations like Miller Coors. Today, there are more than 430 craft breweries across the state, and with more on the way. There's almost one in every county, not to mention the rise in home brewing. Ohio State now even has a class on brewing science. We're talking all about the craft of brewing and how the industry is faring this hour, and joining us is Mary McDonald, Executive Director of the Ohio Craft Brewers Association. Welcome back, Mary.
Good morning.
And Ohio State University's Senior Lecturer, Brian Waters. Brian teaches classes on brewing science, wine and beer and restaurant culture, and food safety. Welcome.
A pleasure to be here.
We're going to, before we get into the science of brewing beer at home, I want to remind you that you are listening to All Sides with Anna Staber, and this is our spring membership drive. Listener support is the foundation of our budget, so please give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For a contribution of $15 a month as a sustainer, we have a great beer-themed gift package for you this hour. If you love good local beer and good local public radio, you're going to get a Public Radio Nerd pint glass and a gift card to attend a Brewery District walking tour. The tour is thanks to Columbus Food Adventures. You're going to explore Columbus's historic Brewery District where beer began. Here in Columbus, while enjoying some of the best local brews that our city has to offer. And when you're enjoying your favorite beverages at home, you can use your Public Radio Nerd pint glass. This glass has the Nerd logo on one side and our own logo on the other. Again, you get the pint glass and the Columbus Food Adventures gift card for the walking tour. That's for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. You can give now at 866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. And the gift card can be used any Saturday that they have the tour. So there's not one specific date. You're not tied down to a specific time or a specific place. You go when it's good for you. And if you listen to All Sides every day, then you know the show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on important issues to Columbus and the rest of Ohio. You hear our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. And in recent months, you've heard experts discuss the challenges of affordable housing with our new series, Untangled. If having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support the station. And you get this great beer-themed gift in return. Do your part right now, and for $15 a month as a sustainer, you get the Public Radio Nerd pint glass and the gift card for the Brewery District walking tour. Give now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. All right, Mary, Brian, let's talk beer.
Let's talk beer. It's my favorite subject.
Absolutely.
So one of the hallmarks, I think, of craft beer is experimentation. So I thought I'd start out by asking you, what are some of the more unique flavor combinations that you've seen happening here in Ohio?
So we just had a women's summit a couple weeks ago in honor of International Women's Day. There are beers brewed around the state by women brewers, and we brought all those together for an event we called Eclipsing Stereotypes. And we had sour beers, and we had hazy beers, and we had hoppy beers. And it was funny to me because the volunteers like to go around and mix and match so that this hazy works really well with this sour, or this stout goes really well with this fruit beer. So they were creating their own concoctions.
What about you? You teach brewing science. So what have your students come up with?
Well, the beauty about beer, especially the beer that we make in the U.S., is that our craft brewers are very, very creative. They always want to innovate, like you said. And And I've seen flavors added to fruit, herb flavors added to IPAs, to regular pale ales, and also, as was mentioned by Mary, there's been a great increase in sour beers, which have a very, very unique fermentation. So I'm very heartened and very pleased that craft brewers in Ohio and worldwide are ready to try something new. That's progress to me.
We've got people who put Fruity Pebbles in IPAs. There's things known as pastry stouts with marshmallow, graham cracker, key lime pie flavors, right? They just take the inspiration from the things in the world that they love, and then they try to put those into beer.
Yeah, sometimes you look at a craft brew and you think, that's weird. And then you try it and you're like, why does that work?
Why does it actually taste like key lime pie? You get the get the flavor of the marshmallow, you get the graham cracker crust.
Do you think sometimes it's because they have that ability to brew small batches, right? A lot of local craft brewers will, even if they have like a pub where you can go in and try, they'll have, they're like, hey, we're testing this out. We've only made like a small batch.
Lots of breweries have, they have a smaller system that they do their experiments on. And then if it goes well in the brew pub, they'll scale it up for production and for distribution, possibly in cans.
Yeah, absolutely. In food science, we have a term for that scale of production called pilot plant scale. And a pilot plant scale, as is mentioned, actually offers a brewer a chance to not go all in on a particular product.
Yeah, and part of experimentation is also happening in homebrew. And you actually teach a science of brewing class, Brian. So, can you walk us through how, just like the general overview of how a beer is brewed?
Okay. Well, that really does cover a whole lot of ground. We could start off with the main ingredients. A fermentable grain. That grain is usually barley, but it does not have to be. We also have water, which a lot of people forget, hops, which, and I know that I'm probably going to maybe make a few people say what, but hops are not necessarily required for beer. In fact, the federal definition of beer is a fermented grain beverage.
Oh, okay.
And also, finally, you have yeast. Which we all know that the yeast is going to ferment the carbohydrates in the grain to alcohol and a few other things too. So how the process works is we start off by converting all of the starch in our grain to sugar. We get a sugary liquid called wort, W-O-R-T.
So after this is that, like mash for alcohol.
Yep. So, So, what we do with our wort is we take it, boil it, add our hops, cool it down, then ferment it, and then after fermentation comes a really kind of longish period that's known by several names, aging, conditioning, maturation, and also carbonation takes place during that point. And after that, hopefully you have a good product ready to go.
What I love is that brewing is both an art and a science. It reminds me a bit of baking. And one of the most surprising things that I've learned about brewing is how much cleaning and sanitation goes into the process, Mary.
Yes, absolutely. We joke that our brewers are also sort like their main job is janitorial. Everything has to be clean because if you get the wrong yeast, if your beer gets infected, it does not turn out in a good way.
Yeah, it's so much of it is like literally scrubbing down the vats, scrubbing down the tubing, sanitizing everything.
Lots of bleaching is involved.
Yeah, which I guess you wouldn't really think about when you think about beer is how much time you have to clean all of your utensils and clean them between batches. But there's also the testing, the fermentation schedules, the filtration, the temperature checking, like. It's a lot of technical expertise, right, Brian?
Yes, it is. And all of that is actually very, very important, we all know, because there's a concept of food quality, a popular food science concept. And we always kind of like to think that food quality is just, for beer, is beer good or not? But what food quality is the ability to constantly have a product with the same set of like sensory features, right? I mean, that's the reason why Anheuser-Busch, for example, they have some of the finest quality control in the world because they doesn't matter where you are. Budweiser in Ohio tastes the same as a Budweiser in California.
And whether you like the taste of Budweiser or not, you know what you're getting no matter where you
Get
it.
Yeah, we will put a pin in that.
Consistency is critical.
Definitely.
No, I get that. Because if you create, like any other recipe, right? If you create the most amazing dessert you've ever had or the most amazing beer you've ever drank and you didn't write the recipe down, you may not be able to replicate it.
Correct.
And that would be very sad.
And things on the pilot system don't scale up exactly evenly to the larger systems. Yep. So,
really?
Yeah.
Also correct.
Oh, that's interesting. Brian, can you tell me a little bit about the brewing science classes that you teach? Because I had no idea Ohio State had classes on how to make beer.
Oh, absolutely. And I would like to give a shout out to my department, the Department of Food Science and Technology. And we not only have a brewing science class, we've got a brewing science minor.
Oh, wow.
Which means that you could have hands-on experience brewing, learn all the ins and outs of both the industry and the process. And the brewing science minor is something that actually came up in the past few years, like 5 years. So it's a very, very new program. And so far, our attendance in that program has kind of been steadily rising.
So you could be a business major and a brewery science minor.
Absolutely.
And having workforce development is very important, yeah, given the growth in craft breweries here and around the country.
That's a perfect time to talk about it. I mean, we have 430 craft brewers in Ohio, and they're growing.
Yeah, we usually have about 50 to 60 in planning in any given year. I started 10 years ago, and to your point, there are around 60, and now we have an excess of 430. It's really exciting.
Yes.
You can go all over the state and taste all different types of beers, which represent their niche in their market.
Yeah, and Columbus also has its own rich beer-making history. I guess it began here in 1836 when a German immigrant opened City Brewery. That's wild that it's been here almost as long as Ohio's been a state.
Yeah. Louis Hoster came in 1833, and he was headed to Southwest Ohio, but he was here on the 4th of July and was just so taken by the celebrations in Columbus that he vowed to come back. So he went and interned down in Southwest Ohio and then came back to open Hoster Brewery here in the Brewery District.
Yeah, they'll be celebrating their 200th anniversary before long. That's kind of crazy.
And just in time, they opened a brew pub in North Columbus.
Oh, awesome. I want to say a quick thank you to Gary Salmon from Columbus. And this is 89.7's membership drive. Today, we're talking all about craft brewing. And we have a great thank you gift to tie into today's discussion. When you make a gift of $15 a month as a sustaining member, you get the Craft Brew Tour Package. It includes a pint glass that says Public Radio Nerd in big block letters. The pint glass is the perfect way to toast your public radio membership. It's got that nerd logo on one side and our own 89.7 logo on the other. And you don't just get the pint glass with your $15 a month gift. You also get a Columbus Food Adventures gift card to attend a Brewery District walking tour. You can learn all about Louis Hoster on that tour. And you get this gift right now for $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 when you call 866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And if you've never seen a picture of the pint glass, they are objectively cool. I suggest that you go onto social media. You can check them out on my social media, on my Instagram, at Anna Staver, or WOSU Pub, P-U-B Media. And you can find a picture of the glass. And the brew tour is great because you can take it whenever you want. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the tour. It's an adult beverage tour of the neighborhood. Your guide's going to shine a light on the fascinating brew history of this area, and you're going to sample a nice variety of local beers. You're going to sample beers at 5 locations during the 3-hour tour, and there's also a few snacks along the way if you get hungry. It's available on Saturday afternoons, so when you make your gift, you can use your card on the Saturday of your choice. And as you take the tour, you can be proud knowing that you're a member of 89.7 NPR News. Your gift really matters to us. Give now and get access to the tour and the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And I want you to remember that no matter what amount you give, you're supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. The station brings you coverage you can trust when it comes to the latest information from the State House, social justice, race issues, redistricting, the upcoming Senate race, no matter what's going on in Ohio. And with so much going on, having a trusted news source has never been more important. We're listener-supported public radio, which means you're the power behind the mic. And we're proud to say that listener support is the foundation of our budget. We don't answer to advertisers. We don't answer to shareholders. We answer to you, our listeners. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So we were talking a little bit about the rise here in Ohio and the history of craft brewing. What I also find really interesting is that Prohibition took off here, too.
Killed it all. We were cruising along. Hoster was making 300,000 barrels of beer a year, and then poof. Just went poof.
Like that.
And some of them made sodas, and some most of them just scattered to the wind.
Or went underground. But we...
well...
And then for a long time, it was the big name brewers. And now there's just been this real birth of the microbrewery, both here and really across
nationwide.
The country.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, when Prohibition hit, I think there were around 4,000 breweries in the United States. And it's in the last 5 years or so that we've hit that and then surpassed that number. We're over 9,000 breweries now.
What do you think is driving all this growth and just the explosion in interest in craft brew?
Well, I think when home brewing was made legal in the early 70s, that created a passion among people. And now I think our local breweries want to share their passion and their product with their local communities. I think there's a huge rise in just the local movement in general, and this is part of that.
And along those lines, one thing I like to think was kind of a good little nudge in the right direction was back in 77 or 78, there was a House bill, House Bill 1337, signed a law by then-President Jimmy Carter, which removed the excise tax, which is a tax you pay to manufacture anything, from brewing, which made home brewing a viable hobby. And I guess over the decades that followed, what happened was we had... people taking their hobby and saying, hey, how could I make a living out of this?
Right, so, or they started sharing with friends, and their friends were like, no, this is good. You should sell it. And then people did. You know, of the initial 50 to 60 homebrews that have been in Ohio since before this explosion, there's a number that are still around. So, like, the first brewery in Delaware since Prohibition, the Stoss Brewing Company, is still here, right?
They're going to celebrate their 11th anniversary this year. Columbus Brewing Company was created in 1988 in the brewery district, a few months after Great Lakes, which is kind of known as the grandfather of craft brewers in Ohio. Seventh Son should celebrate their 11th anniversary next weekend. Wolf's Ridge has their 11th anniversary. In July of 2013, Ohio passed a law that created the A1C craft license, and that really led to an explosion in Ohio because they could have their tap room on premises, they could self-distribute, and those are all very important critical things to help the brewery survive. So you can sell your beer on your premises and convince people that you make the best beer in your neighborhood.
That's really cool. I know, and then it really just became like trendy to drink craft brew or to have a strong opinion about beer.
There are a lot of strong opinions about beer.
Yes, definitely.
And craft beer just has a range of flavors, so there really is something for everyone.
And speaking of that, Mary, there is an upcoming event in May called 6-1 Pour, right? And
that's is going to be a crazy month for us. Yes, 6-1 Pour is going to be at the Ohio History Center, and we'll have more than 30 local craft breweries that you can sample to your heart's desire. We've got Mystery Beer Date that's part of Ohio on Tap Week presented by Giant Eagle, and it's like speed dating with beer.
Oh, I love
that. And there's 15 different breweries, and you don't know the beer you're going to taste until you go and visit with them. And the the job of the brewery rep is to convince you that they're the best date, so they're supposed to woo you, and that they have the best beer. So they're supposed to be both entertaining, and that you have 5 minutes to convince you that they have the best beer and that they're the best date.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like so much fun.
Yes, it's going to be our second round of that.
Speed dating with beer.
At the Giant Eagle Grandview Yard, May 18th. If you go to ohiocraftbeer.org in our events section, you can see all the upcoming events.
I love that. I like when bookstores do that, too. They'll, like, wrap a book in craft paper and give, like, a little explanation, and it's sort of like a mystery book date.
Yep.
A mystery beer date. That's awesome. I hate to ask this, but do you have a favorite craft brewer here in Ohio, Brian?
I really don't want to play favorites, sir. They're all good. I guess that's not a good answer, but I have a general like mold of craft brewers that I like, and one of them, besides making consistently great products, is also the ability and the desire to give back to the community, to interact with the public. Basically, you know, they have charisma, and they use that charisma to not only help other people's people, but also to elevate their business. So it's kind of hard to say.
We do love the philanthropy of our brewers. In 2022, there were 22,000 volunteer hours and $2.4 million in donations to charities and nonprofits by our people.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, they're very embedded within the communities.
Absolutely. They're part of the fabric of their community, and I think that's what makes them so successful and why people want to give back to the place that helps them grow.
I want to say thank you to Harriet and Robert Dana from Columbus for helping us grow this hour. And, yeah, if you guys are getting the Public Radio Nerd glasses, objectively, they are my favorite gift this spring. I think they're a very cool glass. Whether you're drinking water out of it like we are, no beer at 10 a.m., but if you're – or I think they'd be great with any beverage, even if you're not a big beer drinker.
They're pretty awesome.
Thank you. You know, Mary, with so many craft breweries popping up in Ohio and other parts of the country, are we getting oversaturated?
Are you asking me if the bubble's going to burst? Because I've been asked if the bubble's going to burst for 10 years. And are there too many restaurants? What is the limit? I mean, we don't have – there's so many small towns that don't have breweries, and those breweries, I think, tend to help with the revitalization of neighborhoods and downtowns. And so I don't know what the limit is, but I think we're not there yet.
I don't want to make a Mean Girls reference.
And, if I could interject.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I have heard about when will the bubble break for actually the longest time. And it was mentioned before, we have over 9,000, like 9,500 breweries across the U.S. I kind of think that my opinion answer to that question is pretty nuanced. It kind of depends on the location, like the area. So, for example, California, this shouldn't be very surprising, has the most craft breweries and breweries in general in the United States. So it is possible that some areas of California, some towns, counties could actually be saturated.
Mm.
But that goes back to the rest of the U.S. The rest of the U.S. is not California. There are many small towns and cities and counties that would actually benefit from a person opening up a craft brewery within their limits.
I'm hoping that you guys can help us troubleshoot if we're a home brewer and we're running into some issues. What would be a good sign? We were talking about sanitation earlier. What might be an indication that we're not sanitizing properly?
Okay, probably the biggest indication is that your beer tastes sour. And
what if you're going for sour, though?
So, sour? Yeah, that's a whole other thing right there. And if you're not going for sour, obviously beer shouldn't taste sour. What happens is contamination from the fermenter, the fermentation vessel, by bacteria like lactic acid bacteria.
Oh, so it's like sour milk.
So exactly.
There's
right.
A range of off flavors. You can have it if it tastes like cardboard, if it tastes like buttered popcorn, or butterscotch. if it tastes like baby vomit. All those things are fat. There's actual terms. And there's classes you can take that show all the off flavors.
Oh, so they brew it wrong on purpose.
They spike a plain beer so that you can more clearly taste what's bad in it and identify that later. It can get over-oxidized. It can get light struck, which is sort of the Heineken skunky flavor.
Oh, so that's not a flavor that we, well, I won't say.
In that case, that is desirable.
I want to say a quick thank you to Susan Walsh in Columbus. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides. Remember, we are listener-supported public radio. Gifts from listeners like you are the foundation of our budget. And if you listen to this station for news and information that you trust, like you're going to perhaps listen during the 2024 election season, then you know that the news coverage can seem relentless. That's why we thought if you're following the news in this election, maybe you could use a drink. This hour of All Sides is all about adult beverage, and so is this thank you gift. For $15 a month, you get two great items. First, you get the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass. You can toast this noisy election while supporting 89.7 NPR News. It is a 16-ounce glass cup, and it has a Public Radio Nerd logo in big black block letters on one side and our own 89.7 NPR logo on the other. And, of course, this glass can be used to quench your thirst with any beverage. You don't have to constantly drink beer out of it, though Mary might want you to try all the different breweries we have here in Central Ohio. But you also get a gift card from Columbus Food Adventures to attend a brewery district walking tour, where you get to sample some beers and maybe buy some to take home and put in your Public Radio Nerd pint glass. Give $15 a month right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You can pick any upcoming Saturday in the spring, summer, or fall and attend this three-hour walking tour. During the tour, you're going to have local craft beers, a few snacks, and hear stories of our local beer barons from the heydays of brewing in the 1890s to Prohibition. Get this gift now, a gift card for the Brewery District Tour and the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass for $15 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. All Sides is committing to talking about issues that are important to Central Ohio. If having a show like this is important to you, then please make a gift and support it. We're dedicated to bringing you shows that explain issues in depth. All Sides is not a show of talking heads yelling over each other. It's a public radio talk show with civil, insightful conversations. And if these conversations are important to you, that's why you choose to listen to 89.7, then please choose to support it today. You can give at 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. So if I'm homebrewing, to circle back, and it just doesn't taste like what I was hoping for. Like there's that fine line, right? Between, say, tasting citrusy and then like making your whole face pucker. How do you make those little adjustments?
Well, that really kind of depends on the nature of the defect and flavor. There are a couple ways to strong arm the flavor of beer and post-processing, as it were. And that could include modifications to the sweetness, level of sugar, also to modifications on the alcohol content, which is a dilution. Also, if you have another batch of beer, you could kind of mix the two together to make a slightly less bad product. But circling back to your comment on citrus flavors and floral flavors like that, a lot of those, provided you don't actually use citrus or floral or anything like that, is caused by hops. So, you get those flavors out of hops by really just allowing to soak in the wort for a while, and that's kind of different from bitterness, which bitterness requires heat. So a part of the reason why you boil your hops in your wort during that stage of the brewing process is because it takes quite a while to extract and activate the bittering compounds. But as for aromatic compounds like a floral, evergreen, piney, citrusy, and the list goes on, those particular flavors can actually be kind of, I guess, volatilized off or aerosolized off by the addition of heat, which is why a concept called dry hopping, if you've ever heard of it.
I have not.
Is if you've ever heard of it, is a pretty popular thing nowadays. And there are quite a few breweries. I think there's Hoofarted Brewing is the one who is really, really big into dry hopping. So dry hopping is a way to basically maximize the aromatic flavor of hops in your finished product by just excluding the addition of heat to them.
I'm going to go a totally different direction and say a good brewer is going to dump bad beer.
Right.
If it's unsavable, it's unsalvageable, just dump it because it's not worth ruining your reputation over putting out bad beer in the market.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's what tiny batches are for, right? If it's totally awful,
that's right.
Nobody
knows. You're not dumping 30,000 barrels. You're dumping 3 barrels.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, you know, the more I've learned about craft brewing, the more I'm fascinated just by the hops themselves, because they're grown in all different parts of the country, and they're grown for those different flavors to be more florally, to be more citrus and fruity. And so so where you get them from, where they're grown, like, it has such a big difference on the beer.
Absolutely. And there's an Ohio Hop Growers Guild now, because we are trying to engaging in a renaissance of growth of barley and hops in Ohio, because those were very good crops before Prohibition. But again, once that beer industry was wiped out, that kind of wiped out the agricultural side as well.
And some of the bigger, like, international brewers, they will buy rights to hops, right? To certain hops, and kind of lock you out.
There are proprietary hops that are usually owned by the company that grows them. But then also there's public hops that are available, which is what most of our Ohio growers grow.
That's so fascinating. Proprietary hops. Yep. It's not something you'd think about, but I guess, right, if you're big enough, you want people to grow just one specific kind just for you.
Yep. Consistency. Again, you're going to need a huge quantity of the same hop if you're making the same beer over and over again.
Yeah, and you know what's gotten really popular is sour beers. I see them, like, in the last couple of years, like, everywhere, especially this time, right? Spring, summer, those, like, fruity beers. And I kind of love that, because it's opened up, in my opinion, like, the window to more beer drinkers who maybe don't love that, like, bitter hoppy taste.
I'm going to give a shout out to Pretentious Barrel House, which exclusively does sour beers on the east side of Columbus.
Oh, so if you're a sour beer lover, or maybe if you don't think you like beer, you might like a sour beer.
That's definitely an introductory beer for people who have new palates to craft beer.
Yep, I absolutely agree. And, yeah, we mentioned before that sour beers were kind of growing in acceptance. And I really think it's because a lot of people are I guess it's kind of bad to say, getting a little bit bored of your average IPA. So what they'll do is
they had a moment
like
a decade ago.
Hey, here's this beer that, quote unquote, doesn't taste like beer. So, sour beers are very, kind of in terms of fermentation, really difficult, because you're not dealing with one organism, and that organism in regular brewing is, if you're brewing an ale, for example, is Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
So okay, say that three times fast.
But sour beers will use Saccharomyces cerevisiae, Brettanomyces, lambicus,
and these
several
are
different types of
fancy organisms. Okay.
Yep. And by the way, Brettanomyces lambicus is another type of yeast.
Okay. So these are fancy yeasts.
Called wild yeast. Right.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
So some breweries will have entirely separate sour facilities, because if that infects your regular beer, it ruins the beer.
Oh.
It's not going to be good in IPA or a Kolsch.
So you're really trying to keep the yeast from getting out into the air, because yeast is airborne. Anybody who's like a baker knows you can catch yeast and bake with it from the environment.
Yeah, one of our breweries called Little Fish has a cool ship, which is a big open vessel that they pour the wort into, and as it cools, it brings in the yeast from the air. And then, so wild fermenting yeast.
Yeah. And if you want a $10 term for that, it's sometimes referred to as spontaneous fermentation. I mean, there's nothing really kind of spontaneous about it.
Yeah.
But it's just using like a bacteria and yeast from the environment. And as Mary mentioned, it is a very, very huge concern for people who brew sour beers to keep that right mix of microorganisms there. And like trying to do something different may very well just mess up the entire system.
I want to say thank you to Billy Gilbert from Columbus. Thank you so much for your gift. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Anna Staver. The time to make a gift is right now. You're running out of time this hour, and your gift is so important to the future of 89.7 NPR News. Support the conversations we bring you every day. We work hard to try and bring you interesting people like Mary and Brian, and conversations that are in-depth. Many times we talk to a single guest for an entire hour. You're only going to find that on public radio. So support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For $15 a month, it's a great investment in the future of your listening. If you listen to Morning Edition, catch All Sides during the midday, and All Things Considered on the way home, then you're probably a dedicated public radio fan. Your gift right now keeps these great programs on the air in the months to come. Make a gift of $15 a month and get our Craft Brew Tour Package, 866-897-9678, or make a gift at WOSU.org. So in this Craft Brew Tour Package, you get a Public Radio Nerd pint glass, so you can toast 89.7 News as a member, and you get a Columbus Food Adventure gift card to attend a Brewery District walking tour. Make a gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 to get access to this great package. Call 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. If you make a gift of $30 a month, you're going to get two pint glasses and two gift cards for the walking tour. And you can take a fellow public radio nerd with you to sample some great local craft beers. Give it WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And remember that the thank you gifts are a nice bonus. The public radio nerd pint glass is just objectively cool. But the important thing about being a public radio member is that you're supporting something you depend on. This station is important in your life. You listen for news, information. You're a more informed citizen because you listen. Everything you hear is only possible because of listener support. So join us today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Whew, those are long. Well, actually, Mary, since it is I've been pitching, I'd like you to pitch some of the great breweries that we have here in Central Ohio that maybe people don't know about.
Absolutely. Well, so in May, we do a collaboration beer that we call From the Heart. And so breweries around the state all brew some version of the same beer with the same ingredients. And that'll be launched on May 10th, which is, again, in honor of Ohio on Tap Week, presented by Giant Eagle. So if you want to try the From the Heart beer, you can go to Combustion Brewery and Tap Room, which has locations in Clintonville and Pickerington, Forbidden Root, which is out at Easton, Grove City Brewing Company, Ill Mannered out in Powell, and they also opened a Marysville Tap Room, Nostalgia Brewing in Gahanna, Olentangy River Brewing in Lewis Center, or Saucy Brew Works in Columbus, or Seventh Son, who again is celebrating their 11th anniversary this weekend.
Oh, very cool. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people in the last 15 minutes of our show. So call now, 866-897-9678. Brian, obviously, you could come to Ohio State, you could major in business, minor in brewing science, but where else can we learn about craft beer making? Like, what are some solid resources that you trust?
Okay, seriously, I think that any program of instituted by a school has kind of put a little bit of thought into it, so it's really kind of difficult to favor one over the other. But I will say that the Craft Brewers Association, both the Ohio and nationwide, do actually have a lot of very, very good resources out there. And I unfortunately allowed my membership to lapse, so shame on me. But one of the things I enjoyed getting was their regular periodicals that contained actually a whole lot of research articles focused on any aspect of brewing. And one of the weirder ones, and probably this is not from the Craft Beer Alliance Association, probably one of the weirdest ones I've heard of recently was something called a brew bot.
What is a brew bot?
Yeah, indeed. I initially, whenever I heard it, I thought, had a mental image of a walking, talking keg robot. And obviously that's not what it is. One of the issues, and we kind of touched on this in our discussion, one of the issues in brewing, especially fermentation, is having it go too long to allow for contamination.
Mm.
So in order to speed up the fermentation, what a brewbot does is it's basically a capsule made of alginate, which is a carbohydrate that comes from brown algae. Also iron oxide, and it has pores in it. And inside the brewbot is yeast. So what will happen is that the yeast will produce carbon dioxide whenever they grow, and it'll cause the brewbots to rise up and then drop back down. And according to the results of the study that they conducted, they actually did increase the fermentation time, or decrease, excuse me, the fermentation time by a couple of hours. And
oh, that's neat.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. But I kind of think that they should have actually done it on a little bit of a larger scale, maybe the pilot scale, in order to convince a lot of craft brewers, for example, to adopt the technology. And that's kind of a big issue because food processors anywhere really do not want to pay even 1 or 2 cents more sometimes for new technology unless there's a very, very big payoff for it.
If you're a craft beer nerd, like you're a public radio nerd, often your local brewery will give tours or like beer 101 classes and different tastings too.
So you're running out of time to support the show this hour, and I want to say a quick thank you to Matthew Long from Columbus. We're still looking for a couple more gifts this hour. And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And it's our spring membership drive. So your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and other great programs like Morning Edition, All Things Considered. If you depend on these programs, if you trust the news and information on NPR and 89.7, then support your source for the news of the day and analysis of long-term trends. And in return for your support, we're offering you a great thank you gift package. For $15 a month, you get a Public Radio Nerd pint glass and a gift card for a brewery district walking tour from Columbus Food Adventures. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you listen to 89.7 every day, you might consider yourself a follower, an enthusiast. How about a nerd? You can proudly display your love of NPR with the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass. In our craft brew tour package, you get the pint glass, and it's perfect for any beverage. It could be soft drinks, iced tea, lemonade, or great local beer. Toast Public Radio as a member with this pint glass. and you get that gift card from Columbus Food Adventures to attend a walking tour. You're going to explore the historic brewery district where beer began in Columbus and enjoy some of the best local brews made today. Give $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 to get this package at WOSU.org. Or you can call 866-897-9678. And we are not selling these glasses. Like, you have to donate to get one. I have to donate to get one. They are objectively very cool. But you are running out of time to make a gift this hour. Give now while you're thinking about it. Your contribution to 89.7 NPR News is essential to the future of this station. Think about how much you rely on it over the past couple months. You listen for important information about what's happening at the Ohio State House. You hear from experts on the affordable housing crisis, the opioid epidemic, the upcoming election. If you turn to public radio for news information that you trust, if you come here for facts, that is what we bring you, but we can't do it without you. So do your part. Become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Mary, in preparing for this episode, my producers and I did a deep dive into all the breweries of the state, and they have taken root in some really interesting spaces. Former grocery stores, strip malls, canneries, and the Phoenix Brewing Company in Mansfield occupies a former funeral home.
Yes. They have a ghost, too.
Of course they do.
Car washes, churches, the old bottling plant of Christian Moreline Brewing Company. Yeah, there's amazing places where breweries have opened around the state.
Yeah. Apparently, they found non-human bones in the basement, and that inspired their John Doe American Wheat Ale. I love a good, like, I also love that their serving flights come in wooden planks shaped like coffins.
Absolutely.
They really lean into the funeral home.
Yeah. I think any brewery that has a theme definitely runs with it when they can.
The Phoenix Brewing Company must be real fun at Halloween.
It's fun all the time. I think their anniversary is this weekend, too. Lots of breweries with anniversaries in the month of April, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What are some of the challenges that breweries face in making it for the long haul?
I think the cost of everything has risen since the pandemic. Mm. Cost of ingredients, cost of labor, cost of materials, cost of aluminum. So that's a challenge. And then just constantly reinventing yourself to stay exciting for new crowds, right? I mean, Columbus Brewing Company is still one of the foremost breweries in Ohio today, but they've had to definitely do new and different things. They opened a beer hall on the east side of Columbus that's in the old, I think it was the old stables for the trolley barn. And I think just, again, rebranding, having a really good product is really important.
We're still looking to hear from 9 more people, and we have less than 10 minutes to go. So give now, 866-897-9678. Brian, that's something you guys talk about in your brewing science minor, like the push, I guess, to constantly be coming up with something new for your customers.
That does figure in a little bit, but for the class, I'm more interested in my students actually having the basic knowledge of how to brew.
Yeah.
And I mean, the basic knowledge is more than just a 1 minute blur, but there's a whole lot of science, as you mentioned previously, under brewing or in brewing. And what I focus on is the technique, the science, and the inspiration artistic comes from elsewhere.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to Amanda Aldis from Columbus. Only 8 more to go. This is 89.7 NPR News, and it's our spring membership drive. One important thing to remember is that when you support the future of public radio with your gift, when things in the global economy seem to be changing on a daily basis, when the news is relentless, especially this year, this is the time to support the things you believe in. I'm guessing public radio is on the list of things important to you, and that's why you're listening right now. If you depend on this station for national news, local news, in-depth coverage, then now is the time to make a gift. And you're running out of time. Don't wait. Call 866 877-967-9678 or give at WOSU.org. And thank you. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get a great thank you gift called the Craft Brew Tour Package. You get the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass and the a Columbus Food Adventures gift card to attend a brewery district walking tour. These tours are held on Saturdays, and you get to pick a day that works for you. You're going to make 5 stops and try a variety of local craft beers. You're also going to have a guide who talks about the rich history of this area of Columbus, from the beer barons to 1890s to Prohibition. So don't wait for the hour to end. Give now and support the show. For $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180, and you get this thank you package. And you get to be a member of WOSU. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is a talk show that is truly local, right? We have in-depth conversations about issues important to life here in Ohio. And if having reliable, local, trustworthy news on the radio is important to you, then make a gift and join us today. Support the coverage you depend on and will continue to depend on. Give at WOSU.org. Or, as I've been saying all hour, 866-897-9678. Again, it's $15 a month, and you get the Craft Brew Tour Package. That's the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass and the brewery tour on the Saturday of your choice. Go online right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. You have 4 minutes remaining to do so. Yeah, the hour is almost over. I think, Brian, are you ever really surprised, I guess, or impressed? I hope so, by your students and the creative combos they come up with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll say that my students and their performance and just their enthusiasm really, really makes my job not so much of a job at all. As they say, if you enjoy your job, you don't have to work a single day in your life. But I have had a couple of students actually go into business, land jobs with very large craft brewers.
Oh, that's awesome.
So one of them, I can't give you any names or anything like that, but one of them went to Sierra Nevada Brewing. And she is... She's in a pretty high up position there, and I really, judging from what I knew about her abilities, her knowledge, I wasn't surprised at all. Kind of counting down days until she owns the entire place. but believe it or not, Sierra Nevada is a craft brewer. And probably the definition of what a craft brewer is number one, they have to make less than 6 million barrels a year. And for context, a barrel is equal to 31 U.S. gallons. So the largest craft brewer, if your audience wants to know, or anybody wants to know, is Yingling, followed by Boston Beer Company, and their headline product... Sam Adams.
Yeah, once upon a time, Yingling wasn't even sold in Ohio, not that long ago. You'd have to drive across the state, across to Pennsylvania, right, to pick it up.
Go to a distributor.
Yeah. It's funny how that has slowly worked its way across the country. And it's because you don't think about something that big that you can find anywhere else as being craft, but it really, a lot of the big names nowadays have their roots. And don't forget, if you want to learn about the history of craft brewing here in Columbus and get a really awesome Public Radio Nerd pint glass, now is the time to call 866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. It's your last chance to get this package. And this is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. And online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media. 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.